If you could turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we'll read verses, we're going to go from verse 42 to verse 47. Some of you have actually heard this as a devotional before, because I had actually preached this for the believers over there in Thailand. And then Lord really spoke to my heart from it. I ended up using it for some of the groups that came, and I thought, okay, you know what? I'm going to use this one more time. Okay, so I hope that God will use this to speak to your heart as he did to mine, because I feel that we need this reminder very often. As you know, in this story, it's talking about the battle that was taking place. Well, supposedly a battle that was taking place, because up to this point, there was 40 days of no battle actually happening, okay? There was the Philistines were on one side, and then the Israelites were on the other side of this valley, and every morning and every evening for 40 days, you know the story, Goliath came out, and he went between the two armies, and he went and shouted out, defiance against God, saying, go ahead and send me your best person, your strongest person. He would say, you know, you look at us and you see the Philistines. And he basically showed himself and said, I am the model Philistine. Okay, this is the person you think you're going to really go against the Philistines. And he tells them, you know, you're servants of King Saul. So, like, here is your model Philistine. Let's see Israel's, Saul's strongest person come over and fight against me. And cricket, cricket, cricket for 40 days. And nobody was coming out. And as you saw in this video, I used the example of that as in Thailand, okay? There are idols that are all over the place. And we'll talk about that as we go through here. But I want you to see this one point. We're going to look at verse 42. Verse 42, and we're going to read down through, I'll read down through verse 47, but I would like if you could read verse 46 and 47 with me when we get down to that verse. Verse 42, and when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistines said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Let's read together, verse 46 and 47. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you are a God that is all powerful, that the battle that we are fighting on this earth is not for ourselves, but it is for your glory, and it is also done in your power. I pray, Lord, that we would be reminded today that there is nothing too hard for you, and that we need to take on this battle that is in front of us tonight. I pray you would bless this time. I pray you would speak to everyone through your word. I pray you would be with me as I speak. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What David wanted, not only all of the Philistines to know, but also his own people to know, was what it says at the end of verse 46, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Okay? That is, we want people to know that there is a God here in Lehigh Valley Baptist Church. Okay? If we are not worshiping the one and only true God, then what are we worshiping? Okay, there's no excitement, no joy, nothing to be excited about because our God could do nothing. But our God can do everything. He's the one that has created us. He is the one that gives us life and everything that we need. He is our everything. He is our all in all. And so we want all of the earth to know, just like David wanted all of the Philistines to know, that God is here, that God is real, God is powerful. But you know, this world, they look on us and they say, oh, that's religion. There's nothing over there. There's no power. What kind of power do you see God doing in your life? What is God supposed to do? Is he supposed to make you all rich? You know, like, okay, maybe I'll be up for a God like that. But no, our God is powerful, and he's not the type of God that this world is looking for. Now, a church is supposed to be bringing glory to God. That is what we are here for. In Ephesians chapter 3:21, it says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God is to be glorified in here because he deserves all glory, because he is all powerful. We want to lift him up. We want this whole world, this whole Lehigh Valley, to know that God within us is real, is alive. Now, how is God going to be known through us? Is it just by wishing so? Like, is it just by thinking about it that all of a sudden God is going to be glorified in us? Okay, how was God glorified in the life of David in this battle? Was it just because he was at home saying, I am a worshiper of God. I'm going to just keep on doing, good things. No, he decided that God was going to be glorified by him putting faith in the abilities of God. What God can be able to do. He trusted God and said, this is a battle that God wants to have fought, and I'm going to be the one to do it. So first of all, how is all this world going to know? It's going to know through those who take action, through those who put their faith in the words of God. David heard the cursing that was going on. Do you hear the mocking of this world that says, is there a God? There's no God. The types of idols that are around, in Thailand, as I referred to earlier, you know, they think that there is power in those things, that by them giving money, that they're going to end up having a good life, that they're going to end up by them walking in the ways of Buddhism and such like that, that they're going to end up getting good things for this life and the life to come. These things, though, are directly against God, because you can't make God. You are not powerful enough that you can go ahead and chisel out your own God and cause it to do whatever you want it to do. That is not a God, okay? But over there, they are believing that these things are God. They're making up their own gods, and those things are directly against who God is. And so we want to speak the words of God so that they know that's not God, okay? Don't let that is defying against who the real God is. He cannot be made by man's hands. People also trust in the pleasures, the things of this earth, and they think that those things are going to be able to, those things are also, though, directly against God himself as well. Goliath, he was trusting in his spear and in his shield, and he was like, these things are going to be the things that are going to bring me victory in this battle. And no, those things, there's nothing physical in this world that is going to give you any strength, any abilities, okay? But these things are deceptive. The non-believers in this world believe that by worshiping things that can be made, worshiping pleasures, believing in even religion itself, that those things have some kind of power, and that those things are going to be their savior in some way. But it's not possible, okay? And that is what we're trying to. These things, I want you to understand, is when we see these things, people seeking after these things, these things are the devil's work. It is the deceptive work of the devil blinding people's eyes. Amen. Now, I will say also that believers, okay, now this is not you know, trying to earn your salvation or anything like that. I don't want you to get confused in that. But sometimes believers also are under the attack of the devil in that they are thinking that they cannot overcome sin in their life. That it's just something that is going to continue to live on in their life, and they're just going to have to endure these things. And that is also a lie of the devil. That is a way that the devil is deceiving people. The devil will deceive you to make you believe that you could trust in your own strength or your own wisdom or your money are going to be ways that you can be able to overcome the difficulties that come up in this life. And those things are all wicked things that are in your mind that are lies of the devil that need to be overcome. You have to watch out for these things. David was listening when he came into this battlefield to go bring his brother's food. He was listening to these things, and he was hearing these things that were lies. They were curses. They were things that were against who God is. And he said, this can't go on anymore. And I want you to realize that in yourself, both in those that are unsaved, you see the way that the devil is blinding people's eyes, and in your own way, in your own self, the devil is trying to attack you as well, trying to get you to believe these things that are not true, trusting you, causing you to trust in yourself. And you have to realize the devil is a roaring lion, and he is trying to attack me with these things. But when you see that, you can understand, just like David, there is victory to be had. There is victory through the words of God. And so you need to be paying attention. Like David, you need to be listening out for this. Also, David, he saw the fear that was in the fellow Israelites that were all around him. He saw them, and you know, all these guys they were just scared. It says that when Goliath came out that they were running away. I mean, it's kind of funny because, I mean, by this time, it was like 40 days. Were they doing that every single day? I don't know. As I read the passage, like, it just seems funny. Was Goliath, like, popping out at different points and, like, boo! and then they're like, ah! You know, running away. Like, we can't fight this guy. I don't know what was happening. But, you know, 40 days, they were still just as scared as day one when he came. And, you know, David saw the fear that was in the Israelites' eyes. And he tried to remind them of how God would be glorified if this battle was fought and won. God would be glorified through this. He reminded them that if they did this, it would remove the reproach that was on Israel. Right now, they were looking at Israel as I compared it to people looking at our church here and saying, there's no power. There's nothing that your God can be able to do. But David was reminding them, if you fight this battle, God's going to give you the victory to it, and you're going to remove that reproach that is upon the people of God. So he was trying to remind them about that. He reminded them of the rewards that they would receive. And there were, you know, Saul had thrown out quite a few rewards. You know, he said, okay, if somebody goes out there and fights this battle, you can have great riches, okay? Lots of riches. Like, how much? Oh, just lots. Okay, it said great riches, so I don't know what the dollar amount was. But anyway, he was saying that, no takers. Okay, later on he said, okay, how about this? Tax-free. Now, some of you are starting, ooh, tax-free? That sounds nice. I'll live tax-free for the rest of my life. Okay, but that wasn't even enough to be able to move anybody to take any action. So he goes, okay, I have a daughter. Anybody want to marry her? And so he goes, if you win this battle, you can be able to have these three things, okay? And there was no takers. But David tried to remind them that if they did this, there is rewards for that. You know, and I'll try to remind you right now too. If you end up fighting the battle on God's behalf, there are rewards, okay? There are rewards for those that give up the things of this world and choose to live for Christ. And, you know, it talks about in Mark chapter 10, 27 to 31, you could write that down, but it says, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all, he was saying to Jesus, and he goes, and we have followed thee. And Jesus answered him and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. So just wanted to remind you that if you fight the Lord's battle here on this earth, there are rewards for that. And so David, he was trying to remind these people, remind his fellow Israelites, there is a reward. David reminded himself when he went before King Saul of the power of God that he had already seen in his life. And by the way, don't think that you could be able to take on the serious battles in this world, that of removing the blinders from people's eyes, if you haven't been walking with God already. Okay, David had already been in the fields and had been playing the harp, had been, you know, writing psalms. He had taken on a bear and a lion. And so he goes, clearly, this guy's not stronger than either of those. So if I could do those through the power of God, of course, then I could be able to take on this Philistine as well that's mocking God. And so he reminded himself of the power of God. And then, as I said here, how it's through those that take action after doing all these things, reminding his fellow Israelites, after hearing the cursing, after reminding himself of the power of God, he then volunteered himself. David volunteered himself. And that's what it comes down to. Someone's got to do this. Okay, we can be able to talk about missions and about going on outreach and how God is so powerful that he can be able to bring deliverance if we disciple people, if we share the gospel, if we do these things. But if we just keep on talking about it and we don't do anything, then God cannot work. That is the most important part right there. How will the whole world know? It's going to know by people who actually put what God says to action. They do something with it. And that is what David did. He volunteered himself because nobody else was going. And so he said, okay, King Saul, don't be scared. I'm going. Because he was a little guy, okay? At least it seems like it. He was a younger guy, at least at this point. You know, and so how all the world will know? It's through those who are willing to give up the things of this life. You know, there were lots and lots of Israelite men that were all very qualified to take on this battle. They were all wearing the armor, the type of armor that had just fallen off of David because he wasn't big enough. They were all wearing that armor. And none of them, even though they were offered lots of riches and such, none of them were going to take this on. They were not willing to risk the end of their life in order to be able to see this battle happen. And so, David, when you decide to follow the words of Christ, there are going to be people that are going to push back on you. And they're going to have things that are not kind to say. And this is interesting because, Eliab is the one that went and told his brother, the oldest brother, went and told David and said, who do you think you are? I know the pride that's in your heart. I know what's going on. You're not qualified for this battle. You just came here to watch a battle. That's all you're here for, you know? And I was thinking about that. And, you know, Eliab was the one who, when Samuel was going to go anoint the next king of Israel, Eliab looked to be the one that was over everybody else. He said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. It doesn't matter how spiritual of a Christian you look like. It doesn't matter how picture perfect you are of being a person who God would use. If you're not the person that is willing to put the words of God to the test in your life, then you're not the person who God is going to be glorified through. Do you want God to be glorified through your life? Then don't try to be worrying about the outside and worrying about what everybody else looks and what everybody else thinks about you. Amen. Just make sure that you're walking with Christ, Amen. Walking with God. And then, like David, put the words of God to the test. Live those things out. David was willing to risk his life. It was just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said, you know, it doesn't matter what's going to happen to us. We're not bowing to that graven image that you set up. It doesn't matter if God ends up letting us burn to a crisp in this fiery furnace or whether we end up continuing to live on. We're not doing that. We're putting our faith in God. And that's the type of attitude that David had. You know, obviously he went into this battle very confidently. You know, it says that as he was running up to the Goliath, he went and put his stone in there. He wasn't like taking preparation and doing it. It says he was running, putting the stone in, whipping it up, and somehow the first stone went in there. And he was like, wow, that was a lot easier than I was expecting it to happen. I mean, I don't know. I'm putting words in his mouth. But, you know, this is the, he was willing to risk it all. He was going for it with what God said. He was trusting in God in this. You know, there are a lot of people like the men of Israel and who say that they believe God, but then they don't do anything. Nobody else was taking on this battle. In Luke 9:57, we know that there were different men that came to Jesus and said, I'll follow thee wherever thou goest. But then as Jesus started naming some of the things that they would need to give up in order to be able to be a follower of him, they stopped following him. And that is the attitude of many people. And those type of people don't let the world know about who God is. If you want to be a person that brings glory to God, then you're going to need to be a person who is willing to give up the things of this life. Willing to do what God says, willing to give up the things of this world so that God will be glorified in you.
Amen.
So, also, lastly, I'll just show you that God, how will all the world know? It's through those that believe that God is all they need. Amen. David used what God had given him. He used a sling. The armor did not fit him, and he said, I don't really need that. And he said, God has given me what I need. And I know there's many times that we feel that I'm not qualified, I'm not capable to do what I see and hear needs to be done. I think I can just be somebody who comes and sits and does the activities that all the other people are doing, okay? And, but God can be able to use you.
Amen.
God can use you. He does not need somebody who is super qualified. He just needs somebody who is willing to go.
Amen.
And do the work. David used what God had given him. Those other men, the reason why they didn't go and fight that battle is because they saw that Philistine as being too formidable, somebody that could not be fought. And so they figured if that they have like a superhuman over there, we also need a human superhero over here. But this was a battle of the gods, okay? He was defying God himself. And so God was able to work through him, okay? That's what they really needed, was not a superhuman with some super strength. Well, God is not looking out here and looking for somebody that is super, super capable. He just is looking for somebody that has a heart to do whatever God wants done. You know, the reason why Saul was used in the beginning but then wasn't at the end is because he started off humble in his own eyes. He started off just doing what God wanted, and God was able to use him in some things, but then he became proud. He was trusting in himself, and God very rapidly brought him down. And so God can use you. You don't need to have any special abilities. God can use unlearned and ignorant men. God can use fishermen and tax collectors. God can use sinners. That is who we are. He knew that God was the one who could win the battle. Now, I'll just say in Romans 8, 30, 31, this was something that that came to my attention as I was studying this. It says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Who shall we say then? What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, God is the one that brought us from the point of not being saved to knowing nothing about God to being redeemed from our sins. God is the one that causes us to have freedom over all the sins that are in our bodies, the desires of the flesh that we have. God is the one that does any of those good works through us. It's never been you that has brought any type of spiritual victory in your life. It is only the work of God. God is the one that justifies us, glorifies us. He's the one that does that great work inside of us. And so if God is for us, which God is for us, okay? God is the one that is doing this great work in us. He will continue that work to the day we die. Okay, God is the one, there's nothing that could come against us if God is doing that great work in us. So I want you to think about yourself. Put yourself into David's shoes. Put yourself into this world's shoes. If when this world looks at you, do they see God at work in you? Do they see the real power of God taking place in their life? Or do they see just a dead religion? Just people that are coming and they're doing their thing and they talk a little bit about God and they continue on. There's no great victories that are happening in your life. Just talking about the things that are in this world that are all going to pass away. Or do they see David inside of you? Because the action that David did brought glory to God for the Israelites and has brought glory to God for ages to come, okay? All of us here today are just amazed by the story of God at work in that person. And God can use you in that same way. God can be glorified in your life in that same way. You have to have your eyes open for the way that the devil is blinding people's eyes that are unbelievers and realize, oh, That is terrible what the devil is doing inside their life. He's causing them to think that they are going, that they have everything that they need, that the pleasures of this earth is all that they need. That is the devil that is at work in their life. I am going to fight that. I'm going to fight that battle. I am going to pray for them. I am going to fast for them. I am going to do what it takes to be able to defeat that work of the devil of him blinding their eyes. And then you can be able to rejoice and say, wow, God was at work in their life. That's incredible. You know, I just think about, with a boss, talk about the faithfulness that he had with coming and learning what the Bible had to say and growing in that, even though there was a lot of obstacles for him learning about the words of God. He kept on coming and, how was I going to say that there? Like one of the things that he mentioned in there was about the Sabbath day, okay? And how he was working on Sunday, and he made the decision that he was going to stop work on Sunday because he understood that that was what God wanted him to do. And he didn't really know how he was going to be able to take care of the finances and such like that, but he made the decision that he was going to stop that. And in turn, I said, I think because of decisions like that, and because of other decisions that of you walking after Christ, that's the reason why your wife has come to know the Lord as her Savior, because you are walking after what God showed you. And, step by step, if you are making decisions of walking after Christ as God reveals to you what you're supposed to do, and you take that next step and you follow after him, you put your faith, you take action with what you know about God, God can continue to do a work in your life, and that also affects the lives of other people too. Imagine if you don't walk after God, if you don't walk in faith, whose lives are going to be affected? I mean, parents, think about it. If you don't walk after Christ, what's going to happen to your children? Your children, you have a great direct impact on their life. And so if you take action and you see what God is showing you and you make changes in your life and you continue to grow in that way, then then God is able to work in there. You know, I one thing I was thinking about today, Izzy was talking about how the first time he did a Bible study with somebody, and he said the second Bible study just didn't go the way that he was thinking it was going to go. Well, it just wasn't as clear as he was hoping it would be. And he was like, oh no, I'm not cut out for this. I need somebody else to fill in for me to be able to do this Bible study. But then they said, no, you're going to end up doing it on your own. And some of you guys said, no, you can do the Bible study. And, you know, I think for him, he was thinking, you know, I don't know if I'm qualified. I don't know if I'm able to do this. But he went back at it, and then God has continued to use him. He was able to make it through that next time. You know, and I think David, I think after he threw that first stone, just say it missed the first time. Just say it missed, okay? I don't think he would have been like, ah, I guess God's not powerful. Oh, run away from Goliath. No, I don't think. I'm pretty sure he would have grabbed another stone and threw that. And if he ran out of all his stones, I think he would have tried some other thing of jumping on him and strangling him. I think he would have not given up because he knew that no matter how difficult it was going to be, it wasn't in his own strength, that somehow God was going to bring the victory. Somehow God was going to be glorified at. So don't be disappointed if after the first Bible or second Bible study, I just didn't come out of my mouth the right way. I don't know. I guess I'm just going to give up. God can't use me. No, God can use you. Just continue to step out and do what God wants you to do. And God will be glorified through that. It's not about you. It's just about you walking after what he has instructed you to do. We want God to be glorified in this church. Okay? And so it's going to require us walking after what God says. All of us individually understanding this is the step that God wants me to take today. I'm going to do it so I can be able to take on this wicked devil who is trying to get victory in my life, in other people's brother's life, and in the unbeliever's life. We will get victory and God will be glorified in my church.